Greetings, friends. We're at it again. Here we are. Another day. A bit of complications been going on with the app that I utilize for these streams. Got into a bit of problems there these past days. That's why I've not been able to go live yesterday, and why a few days prior I was having to Mickey Mouse, quote unquote, together certain things in order to go live. So that's been a bit of a challenge there. And even with this one now here this morning, I hope it's working. I hope we have audio. I hope we have video. And I hope the audio is coming off from my microphone here, because there's certain things that are no longer available or are not working properly. But anyways, we'll move forward and see what we can do, right? We'll see. If anything, we'll scrap the session and we'll try to fix her and start again tomorrow. That's what we'll do. Stefan Maya is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. I am a minister. I teach the Bible over at the Riverview Church of Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. Small group. Very small group of us, just gathering weekly in a small little house there that's been renovated. And this is indeed Mission Field. It is indeed untapped land. And the Lord's Church is the sole source of religious origins here on the East Coast. So by all means, check us out. And see if everything lines up with the Bible, because that's what we want to do. We want to talk about the Bible. And we're streaming live here from our Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. And if you're new to the page, by all means, you are our honored guest. Take a look around. Check the archived content, videos and articles. Check all the various platforms and sources we have. You know, we are indeed a podcast producing ministry, and you can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, all those wonderful places there that allow us to receive content. This is Pod Vlog Episode 61. Pod Vlog Episode 61, titled Cleverly Devised Tales. Cleverly Devised Tales. And we're going to find ourselves in the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 16 and following. So, that's what's going on. That's what's going on here. Let me just open it up here for fun. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 16. I'll check something here. All right, checking something out here. All right, so Peter, you know, he's talking to Christians there, Christians that are living during a very, very scary times, times where their faith might be called to such a standard that their lives will be removed from this earth very violently from the governing authorities and the enemies within the fold. So it's certainly a time where our fellow brothers and sisters were going to go through a fiery ordeal. They were going to be literally lit on fire for their faith. They were falsely accused of arson. They were being falsely accused, vilified, demonized by all sorts of directions, including their own kind, who had cowardly succumb to the deception of the world. So there are many elements against them during this penmanship in which Peter wrote down. And they needed assurance, they needed comfort, they needed hope, instruction, guidance, counseling, if you will. And Peter, in 1st and 2nd Peter, does an inspired work to keep them focused on the eternal prize. Even if they need to lose their lives on this earth for the cause of the Christ, that the eternal reward is well worth it, and that the sting of death is but temporal. It doesn't last forever. Now that's, of course, easy to say, sitting here in the comforts and blessings of the Western world. Though, if you've been paying attention, we are indeed on the brink of losing our quote-unquote freedoms completely. And we'll be given into captivity to, I don't know, you can give it all kinds of descriptors if you wish. The leftist ideology, the Marxist, the fascist, the socialist, the wicked of our era, utilizing, of course, the spirits that were well and alive in the day Christians walked the earth to Peter's call. So, you know, keep that in mind. Let's pray about it, and let's do what we've been allowed to do on this earth to stop our governing authorities and the wicked among us to destroy our ability to peacefully share Jesus. So the text here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, is, of course, created to educate them. To educate them in what is the truth, what is reality. True knowledge, right? True knowledge. Peter, well aware of his coming departure from this earth to the heavenly realms there, is, of course, reminding them of many things. And he wants them to survive spiritually. So he needs to put the foundation in their hearts that the apostles, these chosen vessels, recipients of the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit, given the helper, the promise, right? The comforter. For we did not follow, verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1, for we did not follow. We did not follow cleverly devised tales. Myth is the idea. Something that is not true. Something that is not real. The apostles are not the recipients of cleverly devised tales, nor were they followers of these cleverly. The word cleverly, of course, made wise. What is made wise? Well, these devised tales, these myths. You know, very intelligent individuals have the word crafting talents to manipulate and deceive your minds into a fairy tale, a myth. Something that's simply not true, that will lure you away from the objective reality of the scriptures. The Christ, his resurrection, his church, his blood-bought institution, the kingdom. And they have that cleverly devised tale ready for our ears if we are ignorant to the scriptures. And so Peter wants to make sure the Christians of the day reading his letter are made aware of this very truth. You know, don't pay attention to what they're saying outside. Oh, you have all these eloquent, charismatic philosophers with all their theories, and they speak in such an elegant and luxurious way that your ears will be tickled to their fancy, and you will find yourself one day fully embracing, emotionally invested in something that's simply not real. It's not true. And when they come to you and tell you that the apostles, Peter and Paul and the rest there, are simply just men and they're not truly apostles and this, that, and the other, and they do so with convincing mannerisms, convincing passion. Don't fall for that garbage. Don't fall for those charlatans, those heretics, heretics. For we did not follow cleverly devised myth tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. We're in court here. We have the evidence. We were eyewitnesses. Many were eyewitnesses, 500 plus individuals who from word of mouth could stand in court and testify with the full, credible justice behind their testimonies. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales that cannot be defended in court. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Your Honor, I'd like to bring this individual to the stand. He was there, and he was able to witness exactly what took place and how it took place. Who is this individual? Is he a credible individual? Yes, sir. Will you take the oath? Yes, sir. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, Peter speaking of the Christ, for when he, the Christ, received honor and glory from the Father, the great I Am, his Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. And what was heard? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. To what moment is Peter referring? Well, my friends, to the moment of transfiguration, you remember? And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven. They were there. And remember what Peter said? We shall build a temple. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him, with Jesus, on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, that much stronger and accurate, precise, inspired, to which you, you saints, the holy nation, spiritual Israel, Christians, you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. You know, if you are in a very dark room and someone lights a lamp or a candle, your focus will be immediately given to the source of illumination, will it not? Well, of course it will. So we, the apostles, have the prophetic word made more sure. We understand the mind of God revealed through the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit, and we were there as eyewitnesses on that occasion when the transfiguration took place. So pay attention. You do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Remain focused, remain attentive, faithful, growing spiritually, productive citizens of the kingdom, evangelizing, benevolent. But know this first of all, see, stop paying attention to cleverly devised tales, right? We, the apostles, are not the product of myth, fiction, deception, lies. We are not the product of those worldly concoctions. No, we are the product of inspiration delivered upon our minds, governed by God. We were eyewitnesses of the Christ. So know this, first of all, you need to understand this. Pay attention, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Don't rely on your own thoughts and feelings. Don't rely on all these heretics and these charlatans, these false teachers, these worldly, pagan, heathen philosophers, all of this godless entourage. Don't pay attention to any natural source. Pay attention to an inspired source, for the inspired source has the proper interpretation. You don't. We do. So know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. You don't own it. You don't own your own feeling and interpretation to the Scriptures. You can't pick and choose, cherry pick out of context any verse from the Bible, the 66 books of the Holy Bible, proven as inspired literature, God breathed, proven in court. You can't cherry pick verses out of context and make them say what you want them to say. So know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Men moved. It's happened. It has taken place during the reign of the Roman Empire in Jerusalem, with great outpouring power from the Holy Spirit from on high, fulfilling the prophet Joel and many others, upon the 12 chosen vessels, the apostles, on the day of Pentecost, Sunday, recorded in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Paul, previously recorded Saul, became one born out of season when he also witnessed the Christ on that road. Remember? Acts chapter 9. These vessels, containers, recipients of the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit, they are directly endowed, operated on by God. Pay attention to that. Well, what does that look like for us today? I'm glad you asked. Right there. Right here. So let us not go to any natural source for inspired information. Don't trust these pastors and priests and reverends, these TV evangelists, all of those who are captured by the doctrines of demon nations, deviations, denominations. They're so crafty in their devised tales, they'll manipulate your mind to think that they are not a denomination. Some own it with great embrace. Yes, we are a denomination, but God approves of denominationalism. Any church is a good church. We're all on different paths to heaven. Faith alone, faith alone, faith alone. Meritoriously earn your salvation through the Holy Mother Church, the Catholic Church. Or become a member of all these different religious venues who claim, quote-unquote, Christianity, the protesting movement, right? Protestants, the Baptists, Pentecostals, Wesleyans, Gospel Halls, House of Nazareth, Salvation Army, Anabaptists, Seventh-day Adventists. Do not allow your thoughts to be manipulated by the cleverly devised tales of a dying world and the religious falsehood. Friends, don't even allow your minds to be tickled by those among us who are wolves. Oh, they're in the Lord's church. And they display an outward appearance of religious authenticity. But they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They'll whisper things in your ear. They'll take verses out of context. They will suppress the truth, oppress your faith. They won't allow the truth to be told from the pulpit. These elders, these deacons, these elders whom we put our trust into, friends, some of them will tickle your mind with cleverly devised tales. We have to pay attention. Don't lose focus. How do we do that? Remain intact with inspired words, the Bible. Read, study, rightly handle them. If you do, you will remain knowledgeable, educated in reality and practice the commands given therein. Don't allow yourself to be snared and shackled and enslaved with the teachings of falsehood and their worldly desires. You see, the Bible is not a matter of one's own personal interpretation. I can't open the Bible and say that a certain verse means what I want it to say. It has to mean what the author intended it to say. And how do we know that? Context, context, context. Peter understood very well the most accurate moment an individual transitions from darkness to light. The very moment he is given the family name, God's family name, Christian, born again out of water and the Spirit. Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? Well, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, I do. Well, then you qualify. You qualify to the conditions, the keys given for citizenship of his kingdom. And Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water. And Philip immersed him, submerged, plunged, dipped, buried, baptizo. And when they came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit snatched Philip away. But the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he had been saved by Jesus Christ in the watery grave, buried with him, risen with him, Romans 6, 3 and 4, clothed, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Peter knew this very well. 1 Peter 3, 21, water baptism now saves you, not because you're taking a bath and washing sin from flesh with soap suds, but from a good conscience, ready to die for the cause of the Christ because you know you've been immersed in him. Now a member of the body where the saved are gathered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power therein of his blood washing our sins away, calling on his name, Acts 22:16. For we, the apostles, the Bible, is not written by cleverly devised tales. Man did not write 66 books. The origin of thought is divine in Genesis. It's divine in origin. The 66 books of the Holy Bible were written by men, 40 of them, directly operated on by God. And some of the accounts in there are written of men who are not inspired. And it is to our responsibility to study the scriptures, rightly handling them and understanding the interpretation the author intended for us to know. For if that were not true, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 is a lie. No one can know the truth We can't know the truth. 40 men during a span of about 1,500 or 1,600 years. Moved by God. Now we have the 66 books. The perfect law of liberty. That which was not perfect has gone away. Now that which is perfect is in our hands. What a beautiful blessing that is. So we need to stop trusting sources that are not inspired, and we need to rely wholeheartedly on the words of this book. This is the communication given to us. Some say, why do you not speak to me, Lord? I pray to you. I reach to the heavens, and you do not speak to me. He has. Here it is. There it is. You will not receive a silent sound. You will not receive a silent whispering voice in your heart from the Lord. He has written a very public and loud, transparent word. Here it is. We need to stop trusting these so-called religious leaders. Don't trust the Pope. He is but a man, and he will die like all the other popes before him and face eternal damnation, for they have gone against the inspired words. Don't trust these priests, these reverends, these pastors. They promote and encourage and peddle the doctrines of demons. Don't trust them. They'll manipulate your mind to think that you can be saved by such a thing as faith alone. That's a lie. It's a devil's lie. They'll have you think and believe that you can be saved by meritorious acts, that you can earn your salvation if you just hold to the traditions of men. Don't believe that. Go away from them. Don't trust these crazy individuals on TV, these Benny Hinns, these Kenneth Copelands, these Joel Osteens. They're all liars, snakes. Don't trust them. They'll lead you straight to the fire. Don't listen to the wind they dispel from their flutes, the piper. Don't pay attention to their cleverly devised myth. Remain focused on the scriptures. The scriptures, rightly handled, the author therein intends for us to know that his son, the Christ, willfully went to the cross, died, gave up his spirit, was buried, and raised from the dead. He witnessed himself to 500 plus individuals. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Through this pattern and system of intelligence, designed from the very beginning, birthed from the mind of God, prophesied by the prophets of old, promised by the Christ, purchased by his blood, and now must be practiced by our faith. He purchased but one kind of a church, his, Matthew 16:18-19. All these other churches you see are products of cleverly devised tales. The Catholics, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Wesleyan, the Methodists, the Orthodox, the Anabaptists, all of them, all of them, all of them. It's a spiritual thing you must seek. If you're looking for walls, you won't find it. Google won't tell you where the Church of Christ is. The Bible will. For we, the apostles, did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures teach the redemptive plan of salvation. How can you believe in a gospel you've never heard? And how will you ever repent of your sins if you don't believe in the gospel? Hence, Jesus saying, commanding whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe will never trust Jesus' salvation upon mankind. He'll never trust that Jesus will save his soul in baptism. No, he'll never believe that. And so he will be damned. Whoever believes and is baptized. See, if you believe, you will act upon your belief. That is logical. That is a sense that should be common. Yet it isn't. Perhaps you, my friend, know that this sense should be common. That what the Bible says and the Christ therein we should obey, lovingly, for his yoke is easy, his burden is light. There is but one area, one source of religious authority. It's in the Bible. And there in the Bible, we know how to be saved. We know which church we're part of, member of. We know how to worship him. We know our boundaries in fellowship. We know the instructions of discipline. We know the counsel of behavior. And we are given the works of faith we must produce. Everything is right there for us. We just need to know and trust inspired words instead of cleverly devised tales. All right, my friends, that will conclude our session here this day. I thank you for your kind attention. Of course, as always, Stefan Maia is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive, and we shall certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing, and God bless.